I think a good way to get started today is to meditate. Take a breath.
I invite you to sit up with your back straight and your feet on the floor, grounding you to this moment, to this meditation experience together. And when you're comfortable in this position, simply begin to notice your breath going in and out of your nostrils. Release any thoughts that might come in and just bring your awareness back to your breath. Don't judge your thoughts or judge yourself. Just continue to bring your focus back to your breath, moving in and moving out of your nostrils. And now welcome the guidance of truth and compassion into this now moment. Inner direction, inner guidance, inner wisdom, divine ideas, these things are a natural part of who I am. A feeling of safety and serenity, of knowing that all things work together for good in my life and in the lives of others, becomes my now experience. Everything that is ever happening around me is being taken care of by the source of love within me. I release limiting beliefs and tune in to the source of love within me. I invite the light of the world to enter in. I am protected. I am safe. I am loved. I turn over any fears to Spirit. And I send love from my heart out to the entire world. The power of love within me has the power to heal the world. I see beyond all limitation now. And I extend love and light to the world. I have the power to heal within me, and I extend this healing power out to the world. I have the power of positive thought, and every positive thought I have brings joy to the world. I have the power to bring joy to the world. My positive thoughts bring light to the world. My positive energy brings love to the world. And as I now enter into the stillness, I know I am protected. I am safe. I am loved. In Romans 12:2, we are told not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It is out of the darkness that we learn to see. After the pain, the joy is still here. Even when we can't see it inside everything, there is life. And so it is.
Under the snow, beneath the frozen streams, there is life. You have to know, when nature sleeps, she dreams, there is life. And the colder the winter, the warmer the spring, the deeper the sorrow, the more our hearts sing. Even when you can't see it inside everything, there is life. After the rain, the sun will reappear. There is life. After the pain, the joy will still be here. There is life. For it's out of the darkness that we learn to see, and out of the silence that songs come to be, and all that we dream of awaits patiently. There is life. Just when you thought that the icy cold would never end, it's spring. Just when you thought that you'd never hear the birds again, they sing. And the rivers will run, and the eagles will soar, and the flowers bloom brighter than ever before. Babies are born, night turns to morning, there are blue skies, and your heart flies. So open your eyes to the beauty all around, there is life. Let it surprise you, the smells, the sights, the sounds, there is life. For love and adventure are waiting for you. There's so much to learn, and there's so much to do. For now and for always, there's one thing that's true. There is life forever.
That was gorgeous. Is my mic muted? Can I be heard? I keep hearing that my mic, seeing that my mic is muted. Well, if I can be heard, Kenneth, thank you for that gorgeous song. And thank you, David Friedman, for channeling that, for writing that song. You do not write songs that are easy to sing. But speaking of David Friedman, here's his boyfriend, Reverend John Monitor.
Hey, everybody. His boyfriend. We're coming up on 18 years. We're not boyfriends anymore. We are partners. We are domestic partners.
Domestic partners.
Yes, yes. We have not chosen to get married. We have chosen not to get married, actually, so far.
Well, I'm just glad to see you. I'm glad that you both are in my life, and I'm glad to see you. You look fabulous. Love the best.
Well, thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Are you kind of excited about tomorrow?
I'm thrilled about tomorrow that you know Britt and I are going to be sitting on my pulpit here, up here when they announce his name, and I will hand him a prize, and it will not be his official ordination. We're hoping to wait until we can all be back together in the same room, but if it takes too long, we will do it here electronically, and Britt will officially be stoled.
Well, in the meantime, I am so happy that I get a prize for working for the Lord. So,
how about that?
Well, thank you, Sean, and partner wisdom, take it away.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Hey, if you still hear a little noise behind me here, our service is almost over here, but it's still going on. So, and the walls are not the thickest. So just know that you may hear something in the background. You may not. But if you do, that's what's happening. It's not that anybody's made a mistake on United of New York's end. Nobody's made a mistake at all. We're just it's a busy day for spirituality. That's what I will tell you. Hey, I titled my talk today about Christianity and Unity Metaphysics, because there's a lot going on right now, at least what I see posted, where the Christians are offended by this and the Christians are offended by that. And it's, they're wrong. They are just wrong. There's no other way to spell it out. And Unity is a part of Christianity. The Fillmores, Unity's co-founders, called themselves Christians. And it's not traditional Christianity. It's because, how is it? I love this. The metaphysical meaning of Christianity from the Revealing Word says the science of eternal life. How about that? The science of eternal life. It is governed by scientific principles of mind action, which are really the foundation of all the various sciences. I almost said sinuses, but sciences. And Mr. Fillmore, Charles Fillmore, said Christianity began with Jesus. But let's be clear on that. Jesus didn't have the word Christianity. He didn't have the word Christ. I don't know that anybody yet, while he was in his body, functioning as a minister, that he even knew the word Christ. I don't think anybody had called him that yet. But remember, Jesus is not the Christ. The Christ is the Son of God. But it's not limited to one person. The Christ is a divine way of thinking. It's a divine ideal. And it is the awakened human, the awakened person. And so let's never get confused and call, oh, well, when Christ died on the cross or when Christ did this. No. That's Jesus a lot of times in his awakened state, but we all have awakened states and we all can identify with Jesus in his Christ awakening. So I want to be very clear with that. So anyway, Mr. Fillmore does say Christianity began with Jesus because Christianity was following the Christ ideals. They had a different word for it then, and I don't know what the word was in Aramaic, but they had it. But it says, and was carried on by his apostles. He commanded them to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to make the blind to see, even to raise the dead. Whenever truth, capital T truth, is declared in the name of Jesus Christ, the demons of fear and dis-ease are cast out. So we need to look at that a lot. Are the instructions for us to cast out demons? Are they to heal the sick, to make the blind to see, even to raise the dead? And so perhaps that is because I think Jesus didn't just give that to the apostles. I think he saw that as his function, his purpose. And so to look at that and say, oh, well, if I am to cast out demons, I'm guessing I'm not going to cast out any demons by screaming in caps on Facebook. I'm guessing that I'm not going to cast out. What are demons? I mean, what are demons? Demons is my hate. Demons is my confusion. Demons is my forgetting that I am God, being me, and trying to be something else, something less, so much less than what I am is. And so far, not identifying as the Christ. And so I am to cast out demons, but I don't think it means just in myself. It means everywhere, cast out demons from the human consciousness, you know, that to help enlighten one another. And it doesn't mean preach at one another, although I do that. Here I am preaching. But I also think I'm reminding us of our purpose. And so to cast out demons, how would I cast out a demon? Well, through love. And by knowing the truth, I am called to know the truth so that I can, what's the word I want? To wake everybody up, starting with myself. I need to awaken myself. When Jesus went to the tomb of, oh, good heavens, I've gone blank all of a sudden. What's his name? Lazarus. Thank you. And Lazarus, and so when he went to the tomb of Lazarus and he said, he had said he looked upward. And now he did not say, geez, I hope this works. He said, it said he looked upward, but that means up to the highest thinking, the highest knowing of what is possible in spirit. Remember, he took 4 days to get there. So 3 days or 4 days, it doesn't matter. These numbers that no longer stick to my mind, they don't really matter. If you take a few days to get to someone in a tomb, it doesn't matter, really. But and they said, how are you going to make this happen? He's been dead. He's wrapped. He smells. And they said, Lazarus, come forth. And he did, according to the Bible story. Now, Jesus had intuition that he worked on and he practiced. And all of us can develop that intuition. And here's what we will have to do. We will have to interrupt those other distractions. Jesus prayed daily. He meditated daily. He thought on these things. He thought on the things of God, the possibilities of God. And with that, all sorts of things that we call miracles happened. And what is a miracle but a spiritual event that happens that we don't understand how it happened? Nevertheless, once we've witnessed it once, then we know it's possible. And so we must stay in that consciousness. And that's how we're going to cast the demons out of ourselves. And it's how we will cast the demons out of others, because they will bear witness to the healing, to the miracle, and then those demons, those doubting thoughts, those unbeliefs will begin to fall away. That's how it happened with me. I saw things happening in my life, so I wanted to meditate more. I wanted to become one of those practitioners that could prove God now, that could prove that all healing is possible. And so it says, to cast out demons, to heal the sick. How are we going to heal the sick? Well, by knowing that health is temporary. By knowing that sickness is but a temporary experience, and that health is permanent. Health is the reality of our being. And so to heal the sick, my function is to heal the sick. Well, I don't do that unto my own ego. I'm not going to heal the sick in the mind, in the spirit, or the body of my ego, but I can ask, do you even want to be healed? I remember I went to a man, I was asked to come to speak to someone's father, and he didn't come to our church. And she said, would you come and talk to my dad? He had been ill for months. No, I'm sorry, years. He had been bedridden for quite some time in their home, and he was experiencing cancer. And I was brought in, I met him, he's a lovely man. And when he was healthy, expressing health, he had done a lot of big things on this earth. And so to know, oh, he had vitality in him, he had power, and now he's bedridden. And he and I were left alone. And I said, I need to ask you a question here. I said, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And most people don't get asked that question. And I don't assume. I can't pray for someone to stay alive in their body if they don't want to. There's no point to that. And so I said, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And he said, well, yes, Aaron, that was a mistake. Health is not temporary. I said to him, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And he said, well, my wife and my daughter would be so upset if I were to die. And I said, they'll be fine. They will grieve you. Their heart will hurt. And they will get through it. I said, but what do you want? And he couldn't make that choice. Couldn't make that choice to go. So I said, oh, how about we pray for peace? How about we just have a nice, peaceful prayer, which is what I learned in my very first Unity class on how to let God help you. People have prayed for health and people have come out of comas to say, let me go. So I said, we'll pray for peace. And 2 weeks later, he left. And I officiated at his funeral. And the family, of course, has been fine. And he left. I had another friend, a close friend within our church here in Connecticut. It's been a year and a half now. And he had been quite ill, back and forth, going in and out, and getting progressively worse for a few years. And finally, in the hot, his wife was, she was wearing out. And so I said to him, do you want to stay? Do you want to go? And he said, I will miss my family. And he cried and cried and cried. He said, I'll miss my family so much. And I said, from what I can understand, you'll probably get to see them. They may not see you, but you can see them. And then I went out in the hallway to talk to his wife. And I said, have you given him permission to go? She said, no, I was leaving it up to him. And I said, give him permission. Now, that day he had said he wanted chemo one more time. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it was just wearing him out. And so, and they were, and right outside the room, they were mixing a new bag of stuff. They were doing it. And she came in and said, do you want to stay? Do you want to go? And he said, I don't know. And just as they said that, they dropped the bag of chemo stuff, radiation, on the floor in the hallway. Suddenly everybody's got hazmat suits on and they're cleaning it up. Well, they did give him one more dose and he made his transition that night. And it's, so we don't know, but we want to give everybody who needs to, healing the sick is healing the mind. It's rather than holding on to the physicality, is there, oh no, if I let go of this physicality, then what am I going to do? But we're told not to believe in the physicality. We're to believe in the spirit. We are to absolutely believe in the spirit. Our relationships, I don't think, will ever end. Life is eternal, but it's not always eternal in the body. I remember Eric Butterworth saying, life didn't begin with this body. And so many of us think, when they think in terms of eternal life, that it started with this body, but it didn't. And so that's, again, casting out the demons, the disbelief that God is spirit and I am spirit along with God, and that's how I can work. So in the science of eternal life as part of myself as a Christian in the new thought understanding. And then it says, to make the blind to see. Now, I have not healed someone who was physically blind, but I have done a lot with the spiritually blind. And I started with me, quite frankly. A lot took place with me when I was spiritually blind. I couldn't see. Couldn't see God to save myself. Couldn't see spirit. Couldn't see truth. Couldn't see wisdom. I believed in the limitations that my parents believed in. And then one day, I thought, well, this is not enough. I'm falling away. I'm shrinking away, 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 away. And I didn't want to shrink away. And so I began to go with the faith of a child and some of the positive stuff I had learned about God when I was a child and into my early teens. And I began to work with that more and more and more. And then I joined a healing fellowship, and then I came to Unity. And I just wanted to be a practitioner here. I didn't come to Unity to be a minister or a teacher or any of that stuff. I studied in order to become a practitioner. Unity introduced and offered me so many new ways of thinking that could change everything about my mind and my body and my relationships. And I wouldn't have to worry about them anymore. My job wasn't to worry. My job was to think differently, think with God, as it were. And so to begin to look at that and think, oh, that's what I want to do. So, and then it says, even to raise the dead. And that's what happened with me. I was spiritually dead. And I wanted to lift up. I wanted to rise up, resurrect, as it were, my spirit. And so that I could agree with God way more quickly. So when we start to look at things differently, so it says, whenever truth is declared in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have to say the words Jesus Christ. Except that, at least not if I'm thinking of a man. Remember, metaphysically, Jesus Christ means the awakened man. So truth, capital T truth, that is that which has no opposite. Truth is declared in the name of the awakened man, the awakened mind, the awakened. The demons of fear and dis-ease are cast out. Now, there are some preachers and stuff that can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke thee, and stuff will lift out, because Jesus did teach, pray believing. So what do you believe in? I do not believe that praying believing in the worst is so effective. If it were, so many of us would already be dead and wiped out from this planet, completely annihilated. From this planet, there are prayers of Christians who would wipe out me, for one, but a lot of people I know. I am an offense to Christianity, according to fundamentalist Christians, and now I've never heard anyone say we would have you dead, but they did say we would have you change or not be allowed to have an influence in the world. But a lot of people said that to Jesus too. They would not let him be an influence in the world. And when he went to town that final week, and he knew people were looking at him, and what did he do to really get attention? He turned over the tables in the temple, which he knew the political powers that be would find out about it, and they would come after him, because before that he was avoiding them and going around and teaching and preaching and casting out demons and raising the dead and creating a human body of spirit that could do this kind of work after he left. Now the church wasn't supposed to happen quite so much. At least not in a physical level. The church was the people in the awakened Christ mind within. That was the initial Christian church and what it was supposed to be. It was not supposed to be a building, because so many of our churches, we worship the building more than we do, even in Unity. Well, we go to a big Unity church building. You know, we go to Unity of Houston, and the building is so magnificent, and they have three buildings, and it's really impressive on a lot of levels. And part of it is, oh my gosh, this is so wanted here. I mean, I have Unity of Houston, I have to laugh. They're initial church building that they have is now too small for their children's program, because they built a pyramid to replace the initial building. It's still on the same land, same property, and they built this pyramid that I think you could see the 500 people in, and they had three services. They outgrew that. Now they have a 1,400 seat church building, and it's beautiful and it's exciting, and believe me, and it fills the ego when we're invited to speak there. I've not yet been invited to speak there, but I feel fancy. I just felt fancy the one time David and I got a tour of the place, and I thought, oh, this would be fun to speak in. I remember when I spoke in Birmingham, Alabama, there I did speak, and that was Catherine Ponder's first church. And a lot of that original building is gone, but I felt pretty fancy. And so you see, the ego just takes on things that really has nothing to do with spirit. But while I was on that pulpit, I believe I did my job, and I helped to cast out demons. I initiated the truth. And so when I asked Kenneth to sing, I just see here, it says, well, I guess it's our time to turn some tables over. Make sure you get fully educated before you think it's your time to turn tables over, before you go out. Because too often, people go out half-cocked in their anger, and they do things that really aren't of spirit. They have not done their forgiveness work first. They have not done their spirit work first. They have not done their love work first. And so people hear, because I just say, I guess it's time to turn some tables over. You need to be really conscious before you do such a thing. Remember, Jesus did this to let the powers that be know he was in town, and it was the last week of his life. So let's be aware of that. And he knew that was coming up. He did it on purpose. He knew, how can I really let the people know. And we're still fighting the same battle that he did. All these years later, we are fighting the same battle that Jesus fought, which is to cast out demons, raise the spirit, raise the dead, and exclaim the truth in the awakened Christ. So and heal the sick. We're all looking to do that, except that some of us in our light and our love and our beautiful books and our 17 Buddhas in the back, and you're hanging around your house. I've never seen more Buddhas than in Unity people's houses, even the Unity bookstore, Unity Village. Oh, that's the best place I know to go and buy a Buddha. And so, but with all these spiritual things and sayings we can buy at TJ Maxx and things and hang on a wall to remind us, this message of love and light. And then we go out with hate. And hate does not cast out demons. And hate does not raise the dead. And hate does not, what do we want to do? Heal the sick or make the blind to see. Hate keeps us blind. Hate keeps us wrapped up in our own demons. Hate makes us small and makes us believe we are separate from each other and separate from God. We are called unity, and unity isn't just about the people who come to our churches. Unity isn't just about the people who pray with us. Unity is about everybody. Unity, unity, the big unity. So you want to cast out a demon. You want to metaphysically turn over a table. Love. You find a way to love. Love yourself. You find a way to love your neighbor as yourself. You find a way to truly love God. But in order to love God, you're going to have to get greater understanding of what God is. Because there is no other way. So before we close out here, I'm going to read something. It's fairly short, actually. It comes from the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, A Course in Understanding and Acceptance. And you can get it on Amazon, this book. It's my favorite book. And this comes from Matthew 16. And it says, Jesus is not the Christ in himself. The Christ is the Son of God, and no one is left outside the Christ. Do you hear that? Jesus is not the Christ in himself. The Christ is the Son of God, and no one is left outside of the Christ. Now, just before that, it says, the Spirit of God is one, and the Spirit of God is heaven, so you must be one with heaven. So I invite all of us to go within and know the true nature of ourselves, the true nature of light, the true nature of peace, the true nature of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence, power, presence, and intelligence. I invite all of us to go in. If we are going to do the Christ work, we must know there's likely to be resistance, but resistance doesn't mean hate. It just means usually confusion and a lack of understanding. We will not take down our Herods and what have you by hating them. And so do your work, do your internal work to fly with spirit. Do your internal work to fly with love. Do your internal work to fly with peace and joy and with getting understanding, with getting wisdom. Release the ties that bind you. Release the ties that hold you down and call you nothing. And join with the spiritual force that says, I am everything good. I am everything in love. I am God's beloved child called beautiful, and I can't ever change that. Oh, thank goodness. That's what I have to say today. Thank you. See you Tuesday.
I will see you tomorrow.
Yes, you will.
Something.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you for those powerful reminders for the metaphysics of Christianity. Wasn't it Gandhi that said, be the change you wish to see in the world?
I think it's either that or he got credit for it. Who knows?
Or be the change you wish to see, and that's where we are. And I ran across another really great quote that I looked up while you were speaking. I ran across it just days ago, that where Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians.
Yeah.
Your Christians are so unlike your Christ.
Yeah, it's a little mean sometimes in their forgetting.
Yeah, so hate is not the answer.
Don't you wish it was sometimes? It would be so much simpler, but it isn't.
Of course I don't. Perfect cue to say goodbye. I will see you tomorrow.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. And I hope that you all will stay with us to witness shortly the unveiling, the premiere of Leo's next masterpiece that is very powerful, very poignant, and very appropriate to what we are experiencing right now. So stick around for that. But for now, please welcome back Kenneth Gartman.
I have gazed into the night and looked up at the stars and wondered if there might be life out there on Mars. Don't know if I can get there, but I sure would like to try. Let me dream. Let me dare. Let me fly. Let me break the surly bonds of this gravity I know. Let the fear that has been holding me finally let me go. Let me see my dreams come true, not just stand here standing by. Let me soar, let me through, let me fly. Let me fly beyond the sky and into outer space. Let me look back at the earth and see different place. From out there I'll see no borders, no enemies, no war. And when I've returned, maybe I'll have learned what we're all living for. And I know the chance I take by taking to the sky, but the difference that I make will be the reason why. So even if I fail, even if I die, I'll have no regret. The challenge has been met. The world will not forget that everyone can fly. Let me show you